This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 140. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, AnnouncerBot, and welcome to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just as a reminder, we have a Facebook fan page. Just search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. Go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, or go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, where you can leave us a review.
And you can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email, sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Finally, you can call the voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. JLA number 53 by Robinson and Bagley. So this was the conclusion to the Omega storyline, and pretty much was a Deus Ex Machina ending.
Yeah.
Kind of came out of nowhere.
Eh.
I'm curious why this wasn't noticed in the rest of the DCU. And this is a real problem that you see just generally in comics, where this huge crisis is occurring in one city and nobody else in the DCU notices it's happening.
Right. Well, I guess my problem with it was more, you know, they've started to reference not Wonder Woman not being in the continuity a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But how can there be, say, Wonder Girl and...
And Donna.
And Donna, if
right.
there's no Wonder Woman.
Right. Yeah, that whole thing doesn't make sense. And I got a feeling now that Straczynski's getting pulled off of the thing, they're going to resolve that a lot quicker and just move on, because that was a huge mistake.
Yeah. This was really not that great a story.
No. And I'm sorry, it's still not the JLA. It's the Justice League of Substitutes.
Yeah. Sort of reminds you of JLI or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like Superman, and I'm kind of like Wonder Woman. I'm kind of like Flash. Power Girl number 20 by Winnick and Basri. So we get to see Crypto's monster clone, which I thought was really funny because Power Girl is in Vietnam fighting the new Cadmus group, and they're throwing all these terrible clones at her, and turns out they managed to get a clone of Crypto made. And because it's a clone of Crypto, he smells her and goes, oh, well, she's good. And then they fight together.
Yes. I really love the fact that I'm having trouble remembering names today.
Hmm.
Oh, no, Max Lord has gotten to me.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was Max Lord comes out and says, I told you not to clone Crypto.
Right. I told you that was going to be a mistake.
Don't
it wasn't
do the dog.
And Cho, who is Power Girl's, I don't know really what his role is other than to be on the other end of the communication and kind of feed her information.
Maybe try to cover for her a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
And so he calls in Batman just to say, hey, I just pulled this huge amount of information off of Cadmus and I don't trust myself with it. Can I dump it into your database? And Batman's like, yeah, sure.
Well, and I think he was also concerned that whoever the data belonged to was going to come after it on his database.
Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, Max Lord, the issue ends in a tie-in to Generation Lost, where Max takes control of Power Girl's mind and says, okay, you need to go destroy the JLI.
Now, we've already seen once, though, that Power Girl knew about Max Lord and then forgot about him.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that's going to tie back in and maybe she'll, like, remember?
Yeah, it seems like the control Max Lord has is temporary, and he has to keep reasserting it.
Yes.
So it seems like things are starting to fall apart on his side. Superman Batman number 80 by Robertson and Marino. And we see the world's finest of many eras. And I always love this, where they go through time and there must always be a Superman and Batman, apparently.
Starting with Bruce and Clark.
Right.
Because before that, there wasn't.
Right. But in the future, there always has to be one.
Yes.
So we have Damian, because they say the son of Batman, and a second Superman. So it's a Superman with a 2 on his, instead of an S.
So it kind of made me wonder, because Superman is supposed to live a really long time, right? Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't the first Superman still be working with Damian?
Well, as they showed in the DC 1 million storyline, Superman at some point decides, I'm done with Earth, but I'm just going to go into space. And presumably he just goes off into space and because he comes back by the 853rd century, still living. And apparently he had a kid because the kid is the second Superman. There's a reference to Miracle Monday, which is a book that Elliot S. Magan wrote in the 70s. They wrote it. This is right around the time of the first Superman movie. He came out with 2 novels about Superman. It was set in the current continuity and everything at the time. There's this reference to Kent Shakespeare, Brain Taylor, and Elna Kent of the 31st century, and the unknown Superman and Batsman of the 46th century. Now, all of those, because I looked them up, on at least in Wikipedia, they're all previous references in the DCU, mostly back from the Silver Age. So these aren't new characters. These are all these existing concepts, goofy concepts done back in the Silver Age. So Superman of the 853rd century.
Is that Superman 1 million?
That's Superman 1 million. Because, again, okay. The idea of Superman 1 million was, what is the DCU going to look like when Action Comics number 1 million comes out? And that they've worked it out. It's the 853rd century.
Heavy sigh.
Yeah, so he figures out the time loop because he has so many powers now after all these years and all of these intermarrying with apparently other superheroes and magical beings and all this. He is very much the Silver Age Superman in that he has whatever power he needs for the storyline. So he figures out that he and Batman are stuck in a time loop, and the current Superman uses quantum physics to escape this trap. But the best part of the storyline was definitely this villain shooting through time with no control, and he keeps running into Superman and Batman of various future eras.
Yes.
Doctor Who, Volume 2, Number 1, from IDW, from Lee and Curry. And this is our first run with the 11th Doctor, with the Matt Smith Doctor.
I was really surprised that this was the same person who wrote the previous run of the Doctor, because I thought this story was so much better.
Oh, yeah. And it was kind of a wacky storyline. And I wish we'd see more of these kind of wacky stories on the show. Not all the time. But every once in a while. It would be nice to have a wacky story occurred. And we don't see those anymore.
Right. It seems like they're getting, at least on the TV show, so wrapped up in the mythology.
Yeah.
Of the show,
right?
That they don't get the standalones and the wacky shows much.
And so in this story, the TARDIS gets spam because Rory uses the magic cell phone that can contact anywhere, anytime, and he checks his email with it, and he infects the TARDIS with all these spam, which ends up being these holograms that all show up.
Nigerian prince.
I'm a Nigerian prince. Or do you want to check in on Facebook? They never say Facebook, but it obviously is.
Yeah, friend requests.
Right. It's just a very silly story. And again, I wish we'd see more of that on the show. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 40, by Whedon and Jonty.
Apparently, Buffy turned 30 this year.
Hmm.
The series.
Oh, the series.
Not the TV series, but like the original movie and all that.
So this is the season 8 conclusion. The comic book has been season 8 officially of the TV show. And we have the after effects of the big battle that's been going on for the last several issues. And so everything is too normal now. Willow lost her magic. Most of the Slayers lost their powers. Giles bequeathed his fortune, because he passed away during the battle, to Faith. And from one panel, I assume Angel's mind is gone or something has happened to him.
You know, I'm not quite sure, but we'll find out because there's going to be a new Angel series from Dark Horse now.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see what they do with the character. And so it'll be back to basics for season 9, according to Joss's postscript to the issue. And season 9 will be coming soon. I don't think they actually said when the next issue is. I think there's a break now, and they're going to do maybe a mini-series or something like that in the middle of this, and then get back to the regular season 9.
Right. I'm not sure. I never really liked the all-powerful Buffy.
No, it didn't really work for me. And, in fact, Joss seems to indicate that that was the majority opinion in the postscript, that that really didn't work very well.
But I'm also don't know how much I'm going to like Xander and Dawn being together, and it's not like the regular Scooby gang is going to be in season 9. At least it doesn't look like it, so I'm not sure. We'll have to see.
Well, I think as long as Joss is still directly involved with it, it will definitely be interesting to see.
Yes.
Finally, we have Comics Code Authority, 1954-2011. Rest in peace. This week, DC officially dropped the Comics Code Authority, and it was quickly followed up by Archie Comics, who apparently had planned to do this several months ago, but they said, okay, well, now we're safe to do it because DC did it. And they're the last two that were using the Comics Code Authority. So what is the Comics Code Authority? Well, it started in response to Senate hearings back in the 1950s. This was the whole Seduction of the Innocent and Frederick Wortham and, oh, comic books are destroying our kids. During this time, the government, it looked like they were almost going to take over the industry and almost nationalize comic books, which would have essentially destroyed them. And so the publisher said, we got to do something before that happens. And so they said, okay, we're going to have this self-policing code that the publishers will come up with. We'll get the various civic groups approve it, and the government approves it, and everybody seems fine with it. And that's what we'll work from here on in. And mind you, not everybody was having these issues, but certain titles, like the big ones being the stuff from EC, Crypt of Horror and the Shock Suspense stories, but the one that I'm trying to remember, the Crypt Keeper and the 80s TV series and, oh,
Tales
of the Crypt, thank you.
Max Lord must have gotten to you, too.
Exactly. Again, EC was not the only one. There were other publishers doing that, but there were also publishers that weren't having any issues with that. But everybody jumped in on it.
Well, they were all kind of getting painted with the same brush.
Right. So I pulled down the actual code and just wanted to read a few things to you. Some of the selected pieces of the code. And think about comics today and think how any comics could be made under these rules is bizarre. From the General Standards Part A, crimes shall never be presented in such a way as to create sympathy for the criminal, to promote distrust of forces of law and justice, or to inspire others with a desire to imitate criminals. Policemen, judges, government officials, and respected institutions shall never be presented in such a way as to create disrespect for established authority. Well, guess that kind of does all the Batman storylines.
Exactly. All of Gotham
all
has
of Gotham
corrupt
doesn't,
cops.
Yes.
You couldn't have a Gotham story.
In every instance, good shall triumph over evil, and the criminal punished for his misdeeds.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure that that works either.
So in Part B, all scenes of horror, excessive bloodshed, gory or gruesome crimes, depravity, lust, sadism, masochism shall not be permitted. Inclusion of stories dealing with evil shall be used or shall be published only when the intent is to illustrate a moral issue, and in no case shall evil be presented alluringly, nor so as to injure the sensibilities of the reader.
Well, if something's going to injure somebody's sensibilities, they shouldn't be reading it.
True. Scenes dealing with or instruments associated with Walking Dead, torture, vampires and vampirism, ghouls, cannibalism, and werewolfism are prohibited.
Well, that wipes out like 90% of the comics today.
Right, including the title The Walking Dead.
That never got a CCC.
Dialogue. Profanity, obscenity, smut, vulgarity, or words or symbols which have acquired undesirable meanings are forbidden.
F asterisk asterisk K?
Yes. Special precautions to avoid references to physical afflictions or deformities shall be taken.
Two-Face?
Two-Face. This was exactly that. That's why that was there. It was the Dick Tracy villain rule, essentially. Although slang and colloquialisms are acceptable, excessive use shall be discouraged, and wherever possible, good grammar shall be employed.
That just ain't possible.
Nope. Costumes. To me, this is the best part. Costumes. Nudity in any form is prohibited, as is indecent or undue exposure. Suggested and salacious illustration or suggestive posture is unacceptable. All characters shall be depicted in dress reasonably acceptable to society.
Well, what society?
Well, the Justice Society. Females shall be drawn realistically without exaggeration of any physical qualities, which officially removes every female superhero.
Yes, exactly.
So all of this was never legally enforced, but the distributors said, we're not going to put this stuff out unless we see the CCA on it.
So who was actually the one that said, yes, you can put a CCA on this comic?
Well, the publishers themselves set up this group, many of which were actually the owners of the companies.
Okay.
And then people involved in the industry, like the magazine distributors, would have members on it.
Okay.
And every single comic had to go through them, and they would make the call as to yep or nope. Now, at the very beginning, the CCA stamp, which is our cover art, was very huge. It was like, you know, a quarter of the cover originally. And the reason you're saying, well, I've never even seen this. Well, you probably have, because in the last few years, it's still been on a lot of comics, but it's virtually invisible. They make it very tiny, and it's almost the background color, but just barely, almost an embossment than anything. What's interesting is this month is DC did these whole, I guess they called them logo art, where
right.
most of the cover is white. There may be a CCA on there. I don't know. But if it is, it's invisible. Stories became very vanilla and very boring. This is why you saw in a lot of the Silver Age, Batman would fight aliens every other week. And he would appear in parades a lot. And every other week was, you know, let's have a Batman parade. And the reason they had aliens was because you couldn't have a person be shown essentially being injured. But you could have an alien being injured. This basically ran for decades. In 1970, there was a reference in a DC title to Story from a Wandering Wolfman. And it's like, oh, you can't say Wolfman. It's against the rules. Well, it was Marv Wolfman who wrote this story. They reviewed it and said, well, it's Wolfman, so it's his name. You can use it. And that apparently is what started, at least at DC Comics, listing the creators in the issue. You know, so the credits, this is when the credits really started for DC Comics to a major extent. Also in the 70s, Marvel printed this Spider-Man story having to do with drugs that actually the federal government had come to Marvel and said, can you write a story about the horrors of drug abuse? And they did. And the CCA said, you can't show this because it's related to drug abuse. And so they put it out without the CCA approval. And that was one of the first mainstream titles that in years had come out without CCA approval. So there were revisions to the code in 1971, much because of that whole drug storyline. And then in 1989, and that's when they said you could have references to homosexuals. Marvel dropped the whole thing in 2001, and they put in their own internal set of codes. And that's exactly what DC is doing now. There's going to be something similar to what you see on video games, where it's E for everyone and that type of thing. Bongo Comics actually dropped it last year, and they just say, you know, for all ages or something to that effect. And then this week, the final two dropped it. So that's the end of the whole Comics Code Authority. Rest in peace. Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I am.
Okay, I'm pressing the button and go.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it a show that's just coming on the air?
No.
So it's an established show?
Yes.
Is it one person on the cover?
No.
It's two?
Yes.
Man and woman?
No.
Two men?
Yes.
Okay. And it's an established show. Is it on one of the three major networks?
No.
Is it on Fox?
Yes.
It's...
Although Fox should technically be one of the three major networks
I still consider Fox to be the fourth other network. So, Fox, is it a drama?
Not really.
Is it a genre show?
Not really.
Not really. Is it a comedy?
Sort of.
It's a fictional show. It's not
yes.
a reality show.
Yes, it is a fictional show.
Fictional show on Fox. And let's see. Shows on Fox. Okay. Is it related to singing?
Yes.
Okay, so it's Glee.
It is Glee.
And the two guys are, I'm guessing one of them is Matthew Morrison?
No.
I don't really know the actual other actors on the show.
You may name their characters.
One of them's Finn.
Well, they're all thin. Well,
Finn,
I guess.
Finn.
Finn, no, not Finn.
Let's see.
Think about who's been in the news lately and what's been in the news.
What's been in the news? Guy in the wheelchair?
No.
Guy with the mohawk?
No. You've guessed almost everyone except...
The Asian guy.
Ha! No.
Wow. The principal?
No.
Oh, jeez.
The two gay kids.
Oh, yeah, of course. What was I thinking?
Come on, Chris Colfer just won a
Yeah, that's
Golden Globe.
True. That's true. I just didn't think of that.
So it's a special report about gay teens on TV.
Ah. Okay.
Boy. The whole show has been focusing around
I
Chris
know.
Colfer
I don't,
for
just,
how
I don't
long?
Know. I guess.
Yes, we watch Glee.
Yes.
Oh, occasionally. And make fun of it.
Yes. That's it.
Mark was in Glee Club.
I want to remind you about that Facebook fan page. Just search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. You can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, and please leave us a review.
And sometimes he does karaoke, too.
Mm.
Mark, I mean. You can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com or call our voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Boy, this has been a Max Lord getting us day, huh?
It is.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.